Chapter 5. Amy. Well, 2 days in and this job was off to a fantastic start. Not much different from the job I had left behind, I supposed, though Sam didn't doubt my ability with the horses. He made sure I knew how inept I was at interacting with clients, promoting and expanding the business, and anything else that didn't directly involve the horses. That was the one place he didn't dare say anything. He knew horses like I knew business, so he wisely shut his mouth when it came down to that. Here, I was paid for my expertise in opening and closing gates, picking up horse shit, and getting 37 horses fed before 6:30 in the morning. And don't you forget it, I thought, throwing a narrow-eyed glance at my new boss's back as he and his father walked out of the barn. Dustin hadn't said it outright, but he didn't like me. His eyes shouted with his mouth held back. Either that or he just looked down his nose at any lowly farmhand. Heaven forbid he offer the most basic respect to someone who made her living getting her hands dirty. And yet he had been cordial, even friendly when we met. At least until he did that abrupt about face while he was showing me around. I still didn't get what on earth that was all about. Maybe stress, maybe moodiness. Maybe something else that I didn't want to deal with anymore after 11 goddamn years of it. For the 100th time, I considered packing up and heading home. There were things there I wasn't yet ready to face, but being here wasn't helping me settle everything in my head so I could face everyone and everything back home. But no, unsettling boss or not, I was still more likely to clear my head here than at home. I hadn't even begun working through all of that crap. I didn't have to like Dustin, though I sure didn't mind looking at him, to get through the next few weeks or months or however long I wound up staying here. I could deal with him, and maybe, just maybe, I could deal with all this crap in my head. The routine of a farmhand didn't change much, just minor variations in feeding, cleaning, turning out, repairing, and staying out of the way of paying clients. Out to the pastures, back to the barn, out to the pastures, to the barn again. On my way back in from my umpteenth walk out to the pastures, I stopped. Standing here on this gently sloping hill, I had a virtually unobstructed view of better than half of the open-sided indoor arena. The arena in which Dustin, probably oblivious to me, worked an Appaloosa mare I'd brought in from the outside maybe half an hour ago. Lord help me when I saw him on a horse indeed. Oh my God. My mouth watered. There was something about a good-looking man on a horse that made me weak in the knees, especially a horse that was moving at a beautifully slow jog, one that made the rider's hips tilt to one side, pause, the other, pause. Good God. Drool. I made myself look elsewhere and went back to my list of tasks. As the morning turned into afternoon, I turned horses out and brought them in, fed them, cleaned their stalls, fed them again. Interacting with the horses was beyond weird and alarming. If Dustin was keeping me at arm's length, I was keeping the horses 10 times as far from myself. So I wasn't just burned out on the horses I'd worked with at my own facility. I couldn't connect with any of them. No matter what they did, whether it was infuriatingly bad manners or an adorable display of playfulness, I felt absolutely nothing. And every time I knew I should have felt something but didn't, my heart sank a little deeper in my chest. What if my attachment to horses was gone forever? No, it wasn't. It was still there. It had to be, and I was desperate to bring it back. Somehow I would, and that was all there was to it. That was part of why I was here. That, and trying to cope with Sam's death, and I wasn't sure which of those two things seemed less promising right now. In between my various tasks on the farm, I took advantage of every chance I had to interact with every horse I could. Even if I was just turning them out or bringing them back in, I petted them, talked to them, gave them the odd treat just to see their expressions. When a yearling grabbed his own lead rope and tried to play tug of war, I tugged back. When I took a mare and weanling toward the gate leading from their pasture, I let the mare jog because then her baby would get excited, trot ahead, and then buck a few times while he waited for us to catch up. And I still felt nothing. Absolutely nothing. More than once, I wondered if I'd have better luck waking up Sam so we could talk our issues through. I buried my frustration and kept working. Horses in, horses out. Fed, stalls cleaned, fed again. Fences fixed, boards replaced. Horses in, horses out. As mechanical as my last job had become, I wasn't getting any less detached. Halfway between the morning and evening feedings, I brought a pair of two-year-olds in from the pasture and put them in their respective stalls. Dustin had Star, the filly he had brought in the day we met, out on the cross ties. He attached a pair of long coiled lines to either side of her snaffle bit and then put them through the brass rings on the weathered old surcingle cinched snugly around her middle. Star chomped her bit nervously and fidgeted, but all the while Dustin spoke softly to her and stroked or patted her whenever his hands were free. That horse had been mistreated. Even if I hadn't known about Star's history, there were no two ways about it. Everything scared her, from a shadow on the ground to Dustin coiling the lead rope slack in his hands. It didn't just startle her like it would a flighty baby or a hyper-nervous horse. The slightest stimulus made her jerk away from Dustin and try to get away, and even when she stopped, she was a shaking mess. Eye whites showing, nostrils flaring, legs shaking. I watched from the barn as Dustin led Star out to the outside arena. When the gate opened, it squeaked on its hinges, and Star came unglued. She balked, jerking back on the lead. She hit the end of the lead rope and freaked out even more, and when she threw her head, she just about knocked him off his feet. As his hat landed in the dirt at their feet, I cringed on her behalf, expecting her to get a face full of closed fists for her trouble. But Dustin didn't smack her. He tugged hard enough on the lead to get Star's attention, and she stopped. Immediately, she pulled her head away and cowered, her legs still shaking and her eye whites visible from here. Dustin spoke softly to her, offering his hand palm up. After a moment of hesitation, and all the while eyeing him warily, Star stretched her neck out and sniffed his hand. He slowly, cautiously reached for her neck with his other hand, and as I watched, the mare shifted from agitated and scared to calm and quiet, affectionate even. He petted and talked to her until she was well past settled down, until she rested her forehead against his shoulder. And only after he had long since calmed her down did he carefully, and never taking his eyes off the horse, reach down to pick up his hat off the dusty ground. Star snorted at it, body tensing like she was going to freak out all over again, so he held out the hat. She inched toward it, then nudged it with her nose. Again. Nothing scary happened, so she tried eating it, at which point he laughed and took the hat out of her reach. In a smooth, extra slow motion, he put his hat back on, and rather than freaking out, Star tried to eat it again. The Jekyll and Hyde I thought I had seen the day we met was absent, completely. Maybe he just wasn't great at interacting with people, but with a horse, especially one as jumpy as Star, he was even-keeled and calm. And while I may not have felt much for the horses these days, something fluttered and tingled in my chest as I watched him calm and coax her into the arena. There was just something about a man with a quiet hand and unwavering patience with an animal that had always made me swoon, and my heart beat now in a way I didn't think it ever would again. Letting my gaze drift from the black hat to the dusty jeans, I realized it wasn't just his interactions with Star that had my heart doing funny things. Heat rushed into my cheeks, and I quickly turned away and went back to my to-do list. Not that walking away got him out of my mind. Even after I had gone through the rest of my tasks and had finished the early evening feeding, leaving me free for a few hours before the late night feeding, I couldn't keep my mind from wandering, and it kept wandering right back to that moment between Dustin and Star. Maybe I'd jump the gun with him. Sure, he had been moody the day we met, and he hadn't been terribly friendly with me since, but it wasn't like I had been all that warm myself. Maybe we just needed to get used to each other. Hell, I had no idea what needed to happen, but my gut told me that the Dustin I'd surreptitiously watched earlier today wasn't the Dustin I'd convinced myself to dislike. Walking down the barn aisle, lost in my thoughts and not sure where I was even going, I had to admit I was having a harder and harder time disliking him. In fact, if I had been in a better place emotionally, if being in a numb void even counted as a place at all, bad or good, I probably would have been doing more than just thinking nonstop about him. What could I say? A good-looking man who had a way with animals? That had always been a recipe for me to trip over my own feet and get tongue-tied and... An instant too late, sharp movement and a reddish flash of motion from the corner of my eye turned my head. Before I could get out of the way, Chip's teeth closed on my arm. I yelped in pain and surprise, instinctively swiping at him with my free hand, but found nothing except empty space. Rubbing my arm gingerly, there was no blood and I could still move, so it wasn't serious, I looked over the stall door. Against the back wall, the chestnut gelding cowered even more than Star had earlier. Head down, legs shaking so bad I thought they'd collapse under him, he watched me with wide eyes. His heart must have been going 90 miles an hour, and I could only imagine what kind of hell he thought was about to rain down on him. My own heart kicked into high gear as I glanced up and down the aisle. I hadn't seen Dustin in a while, and John had gone into town not 20 minutes ago. This was probably a bad idea on a few levels, especially the level of someone who didn't want to get fired quite yet, but what else could I do? Before I could talk myself out of it, I unlatched Chip's door and slid it open. His ears immediately flattened and his eyes narrowed as I stepped into his stall. "Easy, Chip," I said softly. His ears stayed down and his nostrils flared. I was on his turf now, and I knew damn well how dangerous a volatile territorial horse could be. Without taking my eyes off him, I lowered myself until I could reach the small pile of hay inside his manger. I closed my fingers around a small handful and slowly rose. I held out my hand, offering the hay. Chip kept his ears laid back, but he sniffed. Again, this time leaning a little closer, and his ears started to come up. Then he looked at me and drew back, flattening his ears once more. "It's okay." I kept my hand out, moving as slowly as I possibly could. I leaned toward him until my center of gravity had shifted too much to go any farther without moving my feet. Then I took a half step and Chip drew back. There, I stopped. I didn't move, didn't pull back or go any closer, just stood with a handful of hay close enough to him he could reach it if he wanted to. "It's okay," I said again. "I'm not going to hurt you, sweetie." A full minute passed with Chip watching me through narrow eyes. Finally, he sniffed the air. His ears came up a little. Another sniff. His ears rose a tiny bit more, just enough that they started to turn toward me. His nose inched toward my hand, and his ears alternated between almost lying down again and almost coming up all the way. One piece of hay stuck out farther than the rest, and Chip stretched his neck and used his upper lip to reach the end of that piece. Then, without coming any closer to me than he absolutely had to, he grabbed the end with his lips and pulled it until he could get it between his teeth. He snatched it away and drew back, quickly gathering that precious morsel of hay into his mouth. My arm ached, especially since it was the same one he had bitten. That would be a lovely bruise, but I kept my hand outstretched while he chewed that single piece. After a moment of hesitation, he came back for more, and of course he had to come closer this time. He managed to grab a few more pieces and decided he was brave enough to come in for a third bite. And all the while, my stomach sank a little deeper. Moments like this with horses like Chip were supposed to be exhilarating, even when it was something as small as convincing him to eat out of my hand. Earning even the tiniest scrap of trust was a milestone with a horse like him. Big surprise, I was still emotionally flatlining. Relieved he was over his panic? Of course. But that grin-inducing thrill, the kind my sister had once compared to watching her daughter take her first steps, was completely MIA. "Well," I said quietly as Chip took some more hay from my hand, "at least there's hope for one of us." Chip stopped chewing. His ears went up, and when he looked past me, I realized there were footsteps approaching, and I cringed as much as I could without startling the horse. There was no getting out of this one. Whoever it was, they were already too close for me to make an undetected exit, especially since any kind of speed would scare Chip all over again, which also meant I couldn't jerk back the hay I offered without startling him. Right outside the door, the footsteps stopped. "What the fuck are you doing?" Dustin's tone was soft and gentle, but I had no illusion that was for my benefit and not Chip's. The voice was meant for the horse, the words for me. With my heart in my throat, I knelt and set the remaining hay on the floor between Chip and me. Then I rose, backed away, and stepped through the doorway's narrow opening. Once outside, I closed the stall door, and Dustin and I moved away so we were out of Chip's range if he decided to get territorial again. From the rustling and chomping on the other side of the door, I was pretty sure he was otherwise occupied, but no point in tempting fate.
"I know I made myself clear," Dustin said through his teeth.
"You did." I put up my hands. "Look, I scared him." Dustin stiffened.
"Scared him? How so?"
"I got too close to his stall while he was eating," I said. "What you saw, I was just trying to calm him down."
"And he could have bitten or—"
"He did bite me." I gestured sharply at my arm. "It's not serious, but he freaked out. I mean, was I just supposed to leave him like that?"
"As opposed to putting yourself at risk of—"
"Do I look stupid to you?" I snapped. His eyebrows rose.
"Less so now that you're out of his stall, but—"
"Jesus Christ!" I threw back. "I have worked around horses before, Dustin. Believe it or not, I do know how to keep myself from getting killed." Dustin stepped closer.
"I don't give a shit how much experience you think you have. This horse,"
he pointed at Chip's stall,
"has survived abuse you probably can't even begin to imagine. He's not just some backyard pony with an attitude problem."
"A backyard pony?" I scoffed. "You think I can only be trusted with a backyard pony?"
"I think you can be trusted with fences and pitchforks," he growled. "I'm not paying you to do anything with the horses besides turn them out."
He pointed out at the pastures.
"And bring them in."
Another gesture, this time at the packed dirt floor at our feet. "And so if I inadvertently scare one of them," I said, folding my arms across my chest,
"I'm just supposed to—"
"You
try your damnedest not to,"
he said.
"I told you from day one to stay away from this horse. I wasn't kidding."
He stabbed a finger in my direction.
"I hired you to throw hay, fix fences, and pick up shit. I'm not going to be liable if you do something outside your experience level."
"And outside my experience level?" I narrowed my eyes. "I beg your pardon. I do know how to handle a horse." I nodded toward Chip but kept my eyes on Dustin. "Even the ones who have been abused, if you hadn't noticed."
"Do you now?"
He eyed me, clearly unimpressed.
"Because since the day I met you, you've been like a robot around them. A cold, apathetic robot. The last thing they need, especially the ones who have been as mistreated as Chip, is someone who's completely indifferent toward them."
I opened my mouth to speak, but the air stopped in my throat. Cold. Indifferent. Apathetic. A robot. The last thing they needed. He was right, wasn't he? That was exactly how I felt. And the fact that it showed, that he'd noticed, mortified me beyond words. "I'm sorry." I turned to walk out of the barn, and as I left, muttered over my shoulder, "It won't happen again."
and I got out of there before he could stop me.